Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Another action-packed weekend of SEC baseball officially in the books, and there are just 3 regular season weekends left before the action in Hoover, Alabama gets going for the SEC tournament. Then the postseason will be here. As always, I'm joined by co-host Harrison Fant to talk all things SEC baseball. The weekend that was, Harrison, what's going on, my friend? Appreciate you taking the time.
Chris, always a pleasure to be here. And man, just week in and week out, the SEC delivers with just high-quality baseball and just an exciting weekend for us and baseball fans all over the country.
And Harrison, the race for the SEC East, West, and overall title certainly is heating up, like I mentioned, with less than a month to go in the SEC baseball regular season. Let's look back at all the action of the weekend. We will start in Columbia, South Carolina. In my opinion, Harrison, this was the most notable series result. We knew it was possible. Both you and I picked the Wildcats to take 2 of 3, but you know South Carolina, they're up and down. You never know what you're going to get with Mark Kingston's club and at Founders Park. A lot of times, often, they find ways to win. They did just that, taking 2 of 3 from Kentucky in a wildly entertaining series, especially those first 2 games where South Carolina won 6-5 in 10 innings. A game, by the way, the Gamecocks trailed 4-1 going in the bottom of the 9th inning. 3 solo shots pushed that game to extra innings. It looked like Kentucky was going to win it in extras. Then South Carolina gets the walk-off. They win that game 6-5. Then in game two, an absolutely crazy game, Kentucky winning that one 15-13. Their bullpen almost imploded yet again. And then South Carolina finding a way in game three, 10-0, to really drop the hammer on the Wildcats. My question, Harrison, before we dive into the details of this series is this. You know, I've probably been a little bit hard on the Gamecocks. Let's call it for what it is, because there's such high expectations and high standards on this program, and I don't think anybody in Garnet and Black will apologize for that. But when you look at this team, if we're looking at things from the bright side, you just beat a top-five Kentucky team on your home field, of course, but you beat a top-five Kentucky team. You've shown that you're capable, right, sweeping Vanderbilt earlier in the year. Now you got Missouri upcoming this weekend, not trying to look too far ahead, but all of a sudden, could we not look at South Carolina as a team? We talk hot, cold, hot theory. Potentially, just maybe, South Carolina could be a team we look at and say, this team at minimum has an opportunity to be peaking at the right time going into the postseason, because obviously they've got talent and they're dangerous.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely. And the hot, cold, hot theory is as real as it gets. Whether you believe it or not, it is real. And the Gamecocks love playing at home, and they've excelled at home a lot. And the games that they've lost at home against really good teams, they've played them very tight. Like last week against Arkansas, they lose 2-1 in a game they could have beaten Hagen Smith in Arkansas on a Friday night. They lose game 2, 6-3, and then they win game 2, 6-3, and they lose game 3, 9-6, which was a closer game than the score was, but they just play so well at home, and that's the key to any team, I think, in general, but Gamecocks especially, and hopefully in the postseason for them.
Harrison, what do you think about the approach by South Carolina on the mound? It looks like they've kind of settled in on Eli Jones being their game 2 starter, and this Roman Kimball kind of opener philosophy where he started game 1 with 30 innings. Then Ty Good came in, 5-innings pitch. Let's just talk about the opener philosophy. Is that something that you believe in, that you think they should continue to implement as we go into the postseason? Do you think it's something where at some point – you're going to have to revert back to throwing your, what I would say, ace and Eli Jones in game ones? Like, what's your overall thoughts on the strategy there? Do you think it's sustainable?
Yeah, I honestly don't think it's sustainable. And I mean, you've seen the Tampa Bay Rays do it in MLB, and there, if any team, they can do it. And I don't think the Gamecocks are the Tampa Bay Rays by any means on the analytical side of things, let alone the pitchers they have. But they do have a lot of good pitchers. And it's one of those things that I think as a pitcher, and I've experienced this in my collegiate days playing, when I've had an opener in front of me, it's really weird. It just really throws you off. You don't get in that groove of your timing before a game, how you warm up, how you prepare your mindset, everything. It's just really weird because maybe that starter goes one inning, maybe he goes two. In this case, Roman Kimball back in the starting role on a Friday or game one Friday night goes 3 innings. I mean, it just seems like an odd kind of opening role. And then you have Ty Good, who has been a reliever most of the season. I think he started 2 games or 3 games this season. He goes 5 innings. And he was fantastic out of the bullpen, technically. He goes 5 innings and just 7 Ks, I mean, 2 hits. I mean, he's just really long relief, but he just seems like he should be in the starting role than Roman. And just Roman doesn't give you that Friday night confidence in a guy like Hagen Smith. I mean, obviously, he's one of the top draft picks coming up, but just his velo has been down a little bit. I mean, he doesn't have that, like, commanding put away multiple pitches that you look for in a Friday night guy. That really, the Friday night role is supposed to set the tone and get you up 1-0 in a series, set the tone for the rest of the series. And it's just one of those things that it feels weird, and I don't really think anyone can get comfortable in it, let alone sustain long-term. It's one of those things that once the postseason comes, it's kind of all hands on deck, unless they're trying to, you know, use their ace and Eli Jones on a Saturday to off-pitch a team that has, like, a Hagen Smith, or, you know, like a Luke Coleman or a Ryan Prager. Just maybe that's kind of the route and just kind of long-term planning for that. But at the end of the day, I'm not a fan of it. I don't think it's sustainable.
And Harrison, I think what's so interesting about this series over the weekend too, neither of these teams going into the weekend had lost back-to-back SEC series, right? And of course, Kentucky was coming off of losing 2 of 3 to Tennessee. South Carolina was coming off a series loss of their own as well. And the Gamecocks, just give them credit, right? They're certainly an imperfect ball club. There's some loose ends there. They sit at 11-10 in SEC play, which, I mean, right at 500, fighting for their postseason lives, fighting for their hosting lives, if you will. But this is a team that they don't lose back-to-back weekends. And I know, again, you and I both picked Kentucky to take 2 of 3, give South Carolina credit on their home field. You know, we got here in our notes as well, this is the second top five series win for South Carolina. Both, of course, are at home. They swept Vanderbilt earlier in the year. First run rule win in SEC play since they beat the Florida Gators 13-3 last year. Third shutout of the season for South Carolina. And I think that's something, Harrison, that's really, really encouraging. If you're looking for major positives, yes, you swung the bat well all throughout the weekend, but Dylan Eskew giving you 6+ innings pitched of shutout baseball. Admittedly, Harrison, that's not something that I expected. So Dylan Eskew's a guy that, again, been very up and down this year. I've seen people on social media call for him to be pulled from the starting rotation, and he does is go out there and against a pretty quality Kentucky lineup, goes out there and shoves and, you know, puts you in a great position to win a ball game and win a series. I mean, a pivotal game, a rubber match game, and you're able to get the job done. So I think, Harrison, what's so fascinating here, on the Kentucky side, by the way, let's highlight this. And I'll ask you, your thoughts on Kentucky. I'm seeing a lot of chatter right now. There's a lot of people who seem to think the Kentucky Wildcats are fraudulent. Is that people who have been waiting for Kentucky to falter so they can dance on their grave? Or do you think real baseball people would have that same sentiment?
I think it's people just kind of wait until the, you know, that more backloaded end of the regular season schedule has kind of picked up a little bit. I mean, they had South Carolina, they'll play Georgia and Tennessee. They'll play Arkansas, Florida, and then Vandy. So a really tough backloaded schedule for Kentucky. But it's just a long season. The SEC is a gauntlet, and it's hard to – you really can't run through the entire SEC. I don't care how good of a team you are. I mean, it's just so hard week in, week out, the sustainability and the length of it and just – how much it takes to do that and the depth you really need to have on the hitting side and the pitching side. And the pitching side has been a little bit more of a concern for Kentucky, as we've seen last week against Tennessee. And then this week, again, Dominic Niemann struggled and got only through one inning this week in game two, with 6 hits, 6 earned. I mean, 41 pitches in one inning. That's just out of a starter. That just puts you in a really tough spot. I mean, yes, it's game two, but if you look at it, game two is 15-13, that puts your bullpen to cover a lot of innings for game two and game three. And it doesn't really set you up for success, you know, the rest of the series. And it's, you got to have those starters go give you length and give you quality starts to give you a chance each game and each series to win the game. And that's just what I think is kind of caught up to Kentucky. The bats have been phenomenal. I mean, Ryan Waldschmidt's just been unbelievable. He's had 10 home runs in his last 11 games. He's top 15 in OPS in the league. Over 1,100. He's on an unbelievable stretch right now. And Nick Lopez, I mean, they have several studs in their lineup that are just leading the way and just have a lot of power. So it's more so on the pitching side the big concerns for me. And it's going to be curious to go see going forward. And they play Arkansas as well. I mean, Arkansas is not the best hitting team, but I mean, Florida's a really powerful hitting team. You know, they've been super successful and won a lot of games. Vanderbilt's another very powerful hitting team. So that's going to be where my eyes lie with the Kentucky Wildcats the rest of the season.
And Harrison, you mentioned the schedule being backloaded. I think that nobody wants to hear this, by the way, especially, you know, fans of teams that lose series. But here's the thing. If you're Kentucky, and this was an upset of somewhat, if you will, but I heard a great coach say one time, take care of your business at home, and when you go on the road, just don't get swept. And that's really the key to success in the SEC, because you're going to lose series on the road. And that's why you feel so good about when you go on the road, you take 2 of 3 or you sweep, you feel like you've like gained half a game or gained a game on the rest of the league, because it is so difficult to go on the road in a hostile environment and win a series. So all in all, I think Kentucky will be fine. I do think this is a big momentum boost for South Carolina, but I tell you, Harrison, looking ahead, you mentioned Kentucky's schedule, Arkansas at home, that's going to be an electric series, of course, in Lexington. I'm curious to see what the attendance is like at Kentucky Proud Park. I would imagine their fans will pack it out again at Florida, Vandy at home. Certainly, again, that schedule backloaded. And, you know, really the question, Harrison, is can Kentucky hold on for dear life to their lead in the SEC East, because they sit 16-5 in the conference right now. Tennessee is at 15-6. Then you got Vandy and South Carolina at 11-10. So it almost feels like a bit of a two-team race. I mean, I know things can change in one weekend, but it feels like it's either going to be Kentucky or Tennessee. And Kentucky, if they win the SEC East, Harrison, they're going to have earned it, because those final 9 games
absolutely
against really high-level competition. And then on the South Carolina side, Harrison, here's the thing. You beat Kentucky, and that is a fantastic momentum-building series win. It's a top-5 series win. But to me, Harrison, when you look at the final stretch, and believe it or not, and I'm not joking here, I'm not pulling your leg, this weekend upcoming at Missouri, I think is going to tell us everything, because it's not the question, can South Carolina go compete against the best? Their biggest problem, not only this season, but in the Mark Kingston tenure, is winning the ones they're supposed to. And this one upcoming, you could probably ask any Gamecock fan, any person in Garnet and Black who will be honest with you, they will tell you this is the weekend South kind of goes out flat, lays an egg. This is it. So if they don't do that, if South Carolina is able to take care of their business, I do think, Harrison, the question that I let off with you is, hey, maybe this is a team that's heating up at the right time. They could be a team that makes a run to Omaha. I think that is on. They go out there and struggle against Mizzou, drop the series. I think it's, okay, this is just the same old under Mark Kingston and Gamecocks baseball over the last couple of years. So it's not going to be the highlight series of the weekend. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself too, but that South Carolina-Mizzou series, going to be keeping a very close eye on that one to see how does South Carolina follow up beating a top five Kentucky, because South Carolina hasn't lost any series back-to-back, but they've had a really, really bad tendency this season as well, stringing weekends together consecutively, and you can't afford any lapses at this point in the season.
Yeah, Chris, and it's one of those things that reminds me of when we put our picks in for last week. You and I both picked Kentucky, and I really liked, and I was impressed with how Kentucky played against Tennessee. But if they would have come out that series with a win, and they're riding high on the high ropes, and they come into Founders Park against a really tough, scrappy South Carolina team that plays very well at home, I was really leaning on picking South Carolina if that situation would have happened, because of that same thing. You know, oh, we just beat a top five Tennessee, now we're going to go play a South Carolina who's kind of middle of the pack, you know, just that overlook into the next week when they had Arkansas coming up, and then Florida, and then Vanderbilt. This could be a very similar situation with that Missouri, and then you're looking ahead to Georgia already, who has been making a lot of noise this season, and then at Tennessee in the season. So hopefully that's not a situation for the Gamecocks, and I'm really hoping that they go in and take care of business and kind of more establish some dominance in the rotation and just in the lineup, who's been hitting a lot better and a lot more consistency throughout the lineup, not just from one or two guys, because Ethan Petrie wasn't really leading the team this weekend. And I mean, they mashed this weekend. I mean, they played very well. I mean, you had several guys step up. Kennedy Jones with 5 for 11, 8 RBIs and 2 walks. He had 4 RBIs in game 3. I mean, he's been really turning up his game for sure, just seeing the ball really well in the pitcher's hand. But I mean, I want to talk about this Petrie situation in game 3. If you remember seeing it, the home run he hit that got overruled into a single because he passed the runner going around first, past Austin Brindley. I'm like, what do you make of that? It's just like
I just don't know what the runner's doing. That's
what do you, yeah, like,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it's on Petrie, but he's,
yeah, it's one of those things too that it'd be talked about a lot more had South kind of lost the game.
Lost, right? That series,
it's a 10-0 run rule victory, but yeah, that was
it can't happen.
So yeah, no, it can't happen. No, it can't. It's one of those little things, certainly, that can't happen. I tell you another guy too, another slugger before we get off this series, Blake Jackson, huge weekend,
yeah,
huge weekend. I mean, he won the game for them Friday. So
absolutely. You hit three home runs the ninth inning, and then you come back up in extras and you hit a walk-off home run. I mean, in a thriller of a game, it was on a 1-0 lefty-lefty slider backside off the railing. To see a lefty out of the hand that early, and I'm looking at pitcher, and I mean, you are too. I mean, just to see to throw a lefty, you're throwing sliders down and away. You're bearing, making it beat you away. You get a backup slider that starts behind the batter's kind of back over the middle, and he slaps it away for a walk-off home run. Just unbelievable approach. I don't know how he saw it that well out of his hand, but just fantastic piece of dip. And you got a hitting, and you got to give him a lot of props for that.
Harrison, let's move to another noteworthy series over the past weekend. Don't let the Diamond Dogs get hot. And the dogs that I'm referring to are the dogs of Mississippi State. They go on the road to Nashville, Tennessee, and take 2 of 3 from the Vanderbilt Commodores, a Mississippi State team that, yes, Harrison, I'm going to get there before you remind me. I called for Chris Lemonis to hit the road about 2 months ago after they lost back-to-back midweeks to Austin, PA, and it's a good thing they didn't do
Austin
that. Austin P might be the best team in the SEC. I don't know. That. Maybe that was a sign a couple months ago that they're for real. But no, Mississippi State, the grittiness too, by the way, Harrison, to bounce back from a tough game 1. Bryce Cunningham, by the way, was named co-SEC pitcher of the week just now as we're recording.
Rightfully
this. A CG in game 1, no earned runs in that one, 122 pitches in that ball game. But again, Mississippi State bounces back. They win 7-4 game 2, 8-7 in game three. And Harrison, I just cannot help but be so happy with the folks down in Starkville. Mississippi State currently on track to host a regional at the Dude, which college baseball is better, and we got postseason baseball at the Dude. Your thoughts on Mississippi State going on the road and taking 2 of 3 from Vandy, doing it their house, wildly impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And to kind of tie back South Carolina, I think that Mississippi State's a really similar team. It's just kind of a really scrappy team. I think they have a lot better starting pitching, but they're really scrappy. They play very well at home in front of the Dude, the best fans in college baseball. I'm bookmarking it now. Bookmark it if you'd like to as well. Big fan of the Dude. We all know that. But to go do this on the road, I mean, they're 7-7 on the road now. I mean, we talk about winning the series at home. You look for a sweep, but you've got to win the series at home. You take one on the road. They're splitting on the road. That's impressive in the SEC. And just that really carries over in the postseason, because most of your games are probably going to be on the road in the postseason, unless you're hosting a regional. But just the starting pitching, I'm a pitcher, yes, but I think it starts, if you ask 9 out of 10 people that cover baseball, it starts with pitching. It starts with your Friday guy. And Cal Stevens pitched really well. I mean, after the leadoff home run, Jonathan Vastine, Alan Espon all hit a home run later in the first, but he retired the next 15 straight guys. His fastball is electric in his hand. You're going up against a guy like Bryce Cunningham, a top 10 pitcher in the SEC, probably even better than that. It was a CG. I mean, you got to tip your cap. It was a fantastic game, pitcher's duel. And just if you love a pitcher's duel, and you miss that game, you got to go rewatch it. It was incredible to watch. But just Vanderbilt had quality hits there and ended up winning the game. But, I mean, you just have a lot of great depth from them on the mound, which is so key in the SEC, especially on the road.
And you look at this weekend, too. When you go on the road, Haberson, and you need to take a series, and you're going to do it against a team like Vandy, big-time players have got to step up in big-time weekends, and Hunter Hines did just that.
Absolutely.
3 for 4 in game 2, 5 RBI, had 2 home runs in this ball game. Then, to top that, in game 3, Mississippi State is down to their final out. He hits a 2-run bomb in the 9th inning to push them ahead, give them the victory. I mean, Hunter Hines doesn't get nearly talked about, I think, as much as, you know, I feel like right now all the chatter's on Charlie Condon, which we'll get there in just a moment. But, you know, there's other sluggers in the SEC, Tommy White, Ethan Petrie, Jace Lavalette, Braden Montgomery. Hunter Hines does not get talked about enough, and I think he is certainly in that category of the top sluggers in the SEC, and he showed why yet again this weekend.
Yeah, when Hunter Hines is hitting and getting on base, Mississippi State's scoring a lot of runs and winning a lot of games, and it's similar to how Ethan Petrie was South Carolina, but Hunter Hines, just unbelievable series. I mean, there's 2 home runs in game 2, first one in the second inning on a 1-2 slider that just kind of a spun, just kind of a snit mixer. Oppo. And it just, I mean, unbelievable. He just powered all fields. He's an Oppo RBI double later. And then a second home run, a 2-1 slider that's just up over the middle. And he was, I think he was sitting on it. He had to have been sitting on it. He just absolutely destroyed it. I mean, just to be able to sit on a slider 2-1 when you're ahead in the count and just get that pitch and not miss it, fantastic piece of hitting, just a fantastic approach. And like you said, I mean, when he's getting on base, they're winning a lot of games, and him and Dakota Jordan just kind of the core and centerpiece of the power of that offense. But we've seen it expand throughout the season, just the power and depth throughout the lineup. And that's what's been a lot of success to why they're winning games and doing so on the road.
And a tough series loss, Everson, no doubt, for the Vanderbilt Commodores. Again, you always want to protect the home field, especially too, when you win game 1 and get such a fantastic outing like you did from Cunningham, and just not able to hold it up. But like you mentioned, a scrappy Mississippi State team, and not surprised at all that they found a way to get the job done. Also surprised to see Devin Fittrell not even get out of the 3rd inning in that ball game. 4 hits, 3 earned, 4 walks, 63 pitches, and State's bullpen really won the battle, especially in game 3. And that was the difference, I thought, in this series. And it's crazy. Like, this is SEC baseball, Harrison. One swing of the bat from Harrison Hines. If one swing of the bat does not happen, we're having a completely different conversation. That's what's crazy about SEC baseball, and that's what makes it so great.
Yeah, and this is one of the, I think, best series to watch, because you got so much of everything. You got a pitcher's duel. You got a lot of home runs, just clutch at bats. You got a lot of guys stepping up in huge situations. I mean, to go with CG in game 1, and then you have Carter Holton and Devin Fittrell coming in game 2 and game 3 after them, you got to have a lot of confidence, especially the club that they have and just the kind of experience that they have on the club and just their program prestige to win one of the next 2, right, on your home turf. Like, that confidence that you have is just, it's really hard to find, and having that done in game 1 And then you have to face Durangelo St. John in game three, switch pitcher, going 96, 97 from the right side and 94, 95 from the left. I mean, he was outstanding. We got to give him some props for that. He had a perfect game through four for my tracking, 7 Ks on 53 pitches. I mean, he was dealing. Just, he got caught in that third kind of time through the lineup. I think a lot of Vanderbilt hitters that are just mature, a lot of those experienced veteran guys, which is huge in the SEC. And that's also why I think it's great that they play three seasons before getting drafted. It's not one and done. You get these names that kind of build experience, build up programs, you know. And sixth inning, Vanderbilt scored 6 runs on just Vastine, RJ Austin, Alan Espinal, Troy Lanie, just clutch at bats from them, great approaches, and just made adjustments, in which it's huge in the SEC. But to see Devin Fuchel just not go more than two, not go to the third inning beyond, it's just, it's tough to see. And just, it's, he's such a good pitcher, and just hoping he has a bounce back weekend, next week, and he has all the ability to do so. And Vanderbilt's going to need it for sure.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. And again, Harrison, what's so exciting as we look, the latest Field of 64 projections. There's so many out there, but our good friends at inallkindsofweather.com, they tag us in these. They've actually got Mississippi State not hosting, but going to Clemson's regional as a 2 seed. We shall see. I think State obviously has the potential to host. Vanderbilt, they've got as a 10 overall seed, NC State, Texas Tech, and Samford in their regional and upcoming. Vandy, they got to go to Georgia this weekend. That'll be a challenge. Then Tennessee at home, which will be, I mean, that speaks for itself, right? Then at Kentucky. So Vandy, heck, Vandy's got a gauntlet to close the year. Mississippi State, am I reading this correctly here? So they've got Ole Miss on Tuesday night. Is that right? A midweek matchup against the Ole Miss Rebels?
Yeah, midweek matchup. Yeah, it's the Governor's Cup. They play at Mississippi Braves Stadium in Trustman Park, I believe it's called, in Pearl, Mississippi. Great ballpark. I've been there. Fantastic. Large ballpark. So hopefully they fill that out and get a sold-out crowd on Tuesday night. I'm going to be definitely watching that. It's going to be a lot of fun anytime you have two rivals playing, let alone in a midweek. I mean, what can get better than that?
Yeah. Then Bama, Arkansas, so a lot of SEC West action. But what's crazy, again, you cannot lose sight of the fact, we talked all preseason, Harrison, about the Mississippi schools, who was going to bounce back from an abysmal last couple of years. And all of a sudden, Harrison, there's Mississippi State in third place, all alone in the SEC West at 12-9 in conference play. Great job by Chris Lamonis.
They must have heard you talking early in the season.
I'm glad. Again, college baseball.
You never know.
College baseball is better when Mississippi State is 100%. Winning and the dude is rocking. Let's go to College Station and let's talk the number one Texas A&M Aggies. They took on a red hot Georgia team. Harrison, all Texas A&M does is win, man. And they win in a multitude of ways. They're 28-2 at Bluebell Park on the home field in College Station. And the crazy thing about this series, Harrison, it's not that Texas A&M took 2 or 3. And by the way, give Georgia a lot of credit for bouncing back and winning a game 3-5-4, the doubleheader.
We'll get into that for sure.
Yeah, they had a kid coming in throwing 100 miles an hour that I'm like, why did they not pitch this guy like 2 games ago? But you lose game 1-5-2 is what it is, right? Here's where things got crazy. Game 2 takes place. It's a doubleheader. We've got rain, right? Doubleheader in College Station. Now, Harrison, a couple weeks ago, I was at the Braves game in which Max Fried gave up a 6 spot in the first inning.
We were both at the Braves game.
We were both there. And the Braves came back and won, right? That was wild. Georgia is up 9-0 in the first inning. And my friend, here's the thing. When the Braves won their game, that was a close game. There was theatrics late. Georgia's up 9-0 after one inning. Yeah, right. Georgia's up 9-0 after one inning. They didn't just allow A&M to come back and win. They got run ruled in 7, 19-9 after being up 9-0 in the first inning. I mean, you know, I don't want to beat up on Georgia too bad because I think they'd be taken away from Texas A&M. It really just goes to show that Texas A&M lineup is insane. And also,
the SEC.
Yeah, we know Georgia's got issues on the pitching side as well. But your thoughts on the weekend? I mean, this was one, again, that certainly had a flair for the dramatics. And that game, too. And then, again, give Georgia a lot of credit to be able to bounce back from that, win game 3, salvage one, which, again, is what you have to do, especially on the road against the number one team in the country. But a wildly entertaining weekend in College Station, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. To think, I mean, if they don't really, really kind of a stretch of hypothetical, if they don't blow that game too, they go into College Station and take a series against the number one team in the country. Think about that for a second. But to get into game 2, I mean, they put up 9 runs at the top of the first. You got to think, though. I mean, as a pitcher, you go out and warm up, do all your pregame routine. We talk about how throwing off with how things can throw you off with like an opener or something. You're sitting there after you warm up and everything. You're in the dugout. Your team scores 9 runs. You're like, awesome, got this run support. You haven't thrown in probably half an hour unless he went back and threw in the bullpen. So, I mean, I think that definitely has a factor to it. But it's easy to say you go in there after being up 9-0 and pitch with a lead because that's what you're taught to do. That's what you're coached to do, right? And you're a D1 SEC collegiate pitcher. Throw strikes, you know, get outs, get ground balls, right? But against an 8-in lineup, that's one of the hardest things to do in the country. I don't care what team you are, unless you're maybe a Hagen Smith or someone else. I mean, at that kind of level, but I definitely think that took into account. And A&M just proves how good they are up and down the lineup, let alone at home, only losing 2 games. But how this, like, just so many mature approaches, right? We talk about, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, you have Jay Zlobulet. I mean, just you could go on. Ted Burton had an unbelievable weekend. I mean, I think he had 4 home runs in the weekend. Just unbelievable. He was seeing the ball fantastic. I mean, just a lot of these mature approaches that you don't see from just the, you know, 1, 2, 3 hitters. You see 5, 6, 7, 8 hole, 9 hole. I mean, Travis Chestnut had multiple home runs. He did a two run walk off home run to seal the run rule. I mean, just the amount of mature at bats and to be down 9-0 and know, hey, we're still in this ball game, let alone a run rule. We're still in this ball game. And you go up and you smack him back in the face and you're down 1 run. Unbelievable. I mean, I don't think we can praise that enough. Jim Slavsko's club is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're incredible. By the way, I wanted to highlight this because this is really important, and this came out of the weekend. I'm sure you saw this, Harrison. Gavin Grahovic, the star freshman for Texas A&M, the third baseman, he went down with an injury to his knee. Our good friend Ryan Broninger, who was on the show in the preseason talking Texas A&M baseball for Texags, reported that Gavin Grahovic had an MRI on his left knee this morning, so Monday morning when we're speaking. Tests came back clean. There is no structural damage. Fully anticipate him being back next weekend at LSU. So good to hear. Yeah, huge boost for them because Grahovic has been, I think he hit his 15th home run over the weekend as a freshman. So
yeah,
he's been electric. I did want to highlight
the best freshmen in the SEC for sure. Yeah, the country.
Yeah, no doubts. I mean, again,
it was a 16th home run. 16th home run.
16th home run. Okay. 16th home run. So, fantastic player. Glad he's okay. I did want to highlight this, Harrison, before we get off this weekend. The stat line in game 2. I mean, again, you were a pitcher. I was a pitcher. The hilarity of this stat line, the guy who got the win for Texas A&M, his stat line, 5 innings pitched, 10 hits, 8 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, 5 walks on 117 pitches. And he gets the W. So it's good to have run support, my friend. Very good to have run support.
To come out of the bullpen and throw 117 pitches in first.
Wild.
Let's not even skip that. That's unbelievable. But, I mean, you think about it. I mean, after getting up 9 runs in the first, A&M pitching staff, I mean, Max Wiener, the staff just locked it down. They shut it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole team. It was unbelievable. let alone the bats. I mean, they could have won 10-9. But, I mean, that just shows, I mean, what kind of a gutsy team they are. And just, I think that's really going to play. That game is really going to, you know, be a testament to their team the rest of the season and the postseason. I know it's easy to say because they're the number one team in the country. But that's something they're going to look back on and take from going in forward the rest of the season, for sure. But don't take anything away from Georgia and Wes Johnson's club. Oh, my gosh. To go into the number one team in the country in a hostile environment, Blue Bell Park, and play that well and be that close to taking two or three on the road. I mean, we got to give them their props. I mean, Brandon Gonzalez, Charlie Conan, obviously, just unbelievable. I mean, we could talk about him. We got a whole show about him. But, like, Fernando Gonzalez, Corey Collins, I mean, he's been unbelievable. He's at the third best OPS in the SEC. I mean, he's, you know, he's behind Charlie Condon at 1,600 and Brady Montgomery of A&M at almost 1,400. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's just behind. He's almost in second by himself. I mean, it's ridiculous. Just the depth that is accumulating in this Georgia lineup, is it's incredible to see. And just, they've gotten so much better throughout the season. I mean, I think we've all seen it.
And Harrison, you mentioned Charlie Condon too, and we certainly cannot leave from talking about this series and this weekend without mentioning Charlie Condon. Congratulations, the now career leader in home runs at the University of Georgia. He set the single season record and the career record. And I mean, we got three SEC weekends left and a postseason to go. Yeah, really quickly, in your opinion, is he the best Georgia slugger of all time already?
Yes, I'm going to say yes, just because, especially in the short amount of time he's done it. I mean, if we think about it, 29 home runs being the single season, the career home run record of Georgia, and we've seen guys like Caglione, I mean, Ivan Gonzalez from Texas do this in one season as well. Like, no one, if someone's done that in one season, and is that the home run career record at Georgia? I mean, to do that both in one season for him, but like to that to be the record, and he's played less than what? 100, I think he's played 101 games, if my math's correct in my head. I mean, everyone's hyping up how, yes, he's a preferred walk on, come on, red shirts, but just the maturity and how much he grew so fastly in the SEC, let alone in college, and to go out and just do this, and just, he's having just third and fourth year, 40 plus games a year approaches at the plate, and just the power he has, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's obviously talks about him being overtaking the number one draft pick prospect in the upcoming 2024 draft. And it's easy to see why, just how mature of at bats he has in his approach. It's like, we sit here as pitchers and think, how do I pitch to him? Well, you can't throw fastballs in, you can't throw fastballs away, you can't really throw fastballs up. He hits off speed very well. I mean, he hits pitchers' pitches very well. I mean, it's like, what do you do with them? I mean, we've seen him get intentionally walked. I mean, he's just that good of a hitter.
Yeah, he's elite. He's electric. I mean, and it's crazy, too, to think he set the record in two seasons. I mean,
yeah,
wild when you think about the guys that have come
in under 100 games. I mean,
in under 100 games. It's insane. You look at what's upcoming. These two clubs, Texas A&M, like I mentioned, they got to go to LSU. And even though LSU's down, always a tough place to play, at Ole Miss the following weekend, and then Arkansas at home. Georgia's got Vanderbilt at South Carolina, and then Florida. So both of these teams respectively have, I think you could call it, gauntlets upcoming. They will be tested, and certainly maybe Georgia not as much. I think it's going to be a tall task to ask them to kind of, you know, compete in the SEC East to win it, because, yeah, they're sitting at 10-11 right now. Of course, like we mentioned, Kentucky and Tennessee are at 15 and 16 wins respectively. But Texas A&M, they are holding on to a lead in the SEC West at 16-5. They're actually one game behind. That's Arkansas at 16-5. Texas A&M is at 15-6. So they continue to chase down the Hogs. Like we mentioned before, they will have to earn it going into those final nine games. Some really difficult matchups upcoming. And
that might be the best series of the entire regular season, A&M versus Arkansas.
Final I mean, weekend. That's going to be wild.
Yeah. That's probably going to be the title. I mean, of the two teams, Georgia and A&M, I think Georgia has a tougher schedule just because A&M's a better team. Mm-hmm. Because you're playing two games. I mean, you're hosting Arkansas, a top three team, top two team, technically. We'll get into that. At home, at LSU's hard to play, you know, at Swayze's tough to play against Ole Miss. But I think just having to play at South Carolina, Vanderbilt is a fantastic team. In Florida, anything can happen. I just think it's for the pitching staff that they have at Georgia versus the fullness that A&M has on both sides of the ball. I think Georgia's gonna have a little bit tougher time. You're gonna see who gets hot going into the postseason, or it's like, all right, we're kind of grinding out to the postseason. I'm really curious to see that with how several of these SEC teams kind of finish. I mean, we talked about it, Jack Caglione, Charlie Condon at the end of the season. I mean, Jack Caglione, he's number four in OPS, and you got Charlie Condon leading the way. Condon is batting 483 with 3 weeks left in the SEC. He's batting 483. Cags is batting 402, and he's a two-way.
That's insane. That's
insane. To go from just the matchups we get week in and week out, Chris, in the SEC, and you can attest to this. I mean, you get Georgia A&M, you get Charlie Condon, Braden Montgomery, top two in OPS in the league, two of the best players in the country for sure. We're going to get Jack Caglione and Charlie Condon at the end of the season, and we're going to get Hagan Smith in that Arkansas lineup. Hagan Smith pitching, the pitching staff behind him with Mason Malina, Brady Tigert, and then Ryan Prager and the rest of their pitching staff at A&M. It's just unbelievable, and it's so fun to watch. It's so good for the SEC, so good for the end of college baseball, and we feel like we get it week in and week out. It's just you can't not be romantic about baseball. I mean, but it's just the game's growing, and just the talent is getting better and better every year. It's every team's getting better. We talk about how deep the SEC is this year. I think it's deeper than it's ever been, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. And I was going to say, too, man, it's a reason why people look at Hoover as like an Omaha junior. Like, really, the College World Series could just be the SEC tournament because it is the best baseball. I mean, it's the best. It's the best for sure. Guys, if we're going any further, I want to tell you quickly about our friends over at Roback, because today's show, The Windup, it is brought to you by our friends at Roback. Head over to Roback.com, use the promo code SECU. Again, that's ROBACK.com, promo code SECU at checkout to get 20% off your entire first purchase. Guys, the weather's warming up. It's golf season. Of course, it's baseball season, tailgate season, football's around the corner. The summer months are here. You want to make sure you're equipped by our friends over at Roback, whether it's polos, hoodies, quarter zips, shorts, pants, women's apparel, you name it, they've got it. They got the gear you need to outfit the entire family. Folks like Ed Orgeron, Jalen Milroe, amongst a host of others, are rocking with their merchandise as well, and you should as well. Guys, it is some of the most comfortable gear I've ever worn. You see me rocking Roback all the time here on SEC Unfiltered. You should as well. So again, Roback.com, promo code SECU at checkout. That's Roback.com, promo code SECU to get 20% off your entire first purchase. Now, let's move to Arkansas, who took down Florida. Best 2 of 3. This series, of course, was in Fayetteville. Again, give Florida a lot of credit, Harrison. They were able to find a way to salvage a game. A couple really close ball games, though. 2-1, 6-5. And then, of course, like I mentioned, Florida wins that final game 9-5. Your thoughts on the weekend that was? I mean, again, I don't think anybody expected Florida to go into Fayetteville and win the series, which I think says a lot about the type of season Florida is having, because I think before the season, we probably looked at this as like, man, this is going to be an electric weekend. The Gators have just sort of just fallen off, although they've come on of late. You know, you look at the record overall, sitting at 9-12. I mean, it's still, Harrison, hard for me to believe that Florida, second to last in the SEC East, they're only above Missouri. So it's been that type of year. I actually read a stat this morning, Harrison. Florida is in the bottom three in the conference in pitching, which just would have never seen that coming in the preseason. Would have never seen that coming, but here we are. No shame in losing 2 or 3 to Arkansas, but another frustrating week in Florida. And again, it's really Arkansas's arms that shine and steal the show again.
Yeah, Chris, and you can't start without mentioning Hagan Smith, who we sound like a broken record every week. Another weekend, another game one, Hagan Smith goes 6+, double-digit strikeouts. I mean, it's to have that as a hitter, as a team, right? Even your bullpen, I mean, to go in there in game one, you know, we have one of, if not the best pitcher in the country, let alone the conference, and to go do that week in and week out and week in and week out against SEC talent. I mean, Florida, not the greatest team, right? They have so much talent, though. This lineup is stacked. And to go and shut them down, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you give up 3 hits. Hagan Smith only gave up 2 hits in 7 innings. One earned run, no earned runs. 1 walk. I mean, just through against a very good Florida lineup, I think, that's very talented. And, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, it's all series, too. It's not just, oh, we got to get past Hagan. I mean, it was a 2-1 game. It's similar to how South Carolina lost 2-1. Of Hagan Smith on a Friday night. But then you have game two, you got Brady Tigert actually threw in game two as a doubleheader, 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 4, 6 Ks, 4 walks. But I mean, their bullpen, They had several guys come in and pitch parts of innings, and just everyone did their job. That's the biggest thing, is doing your job and doing it as consistently as you can. And to have a bullpen that does that behind their elite starters, there's no room to breathe. We talk about no room to breathe and how deep lineups are. This Arkansas team, they're traditionally in this whole season, their bullpen hasn't given them any room to breathe after how good their starters have been. You know, it's really fun to watch as a pitcher myself. So,
yeah, I think it's the thing that still makes me feel like Arkansas is the favorite to win the SEC, to make the deepest run in the postseason, maybe win the entire College World Series. It's just when you have the type of arms they have and rolling them out one after the other, it's going to make you really tough to beat. I mean, again, like you said, Hagan Smith, we sound like a broken record, but it's deserved what this guy is doing. Arkansas upcoming, they got to go to Kentucky. That's going to be a really interesting series, a great test for them. Mississippi State on the home field, and then, of course, we mentioned at Texas A&M, which you could argue is probably the best series of the year in the SEC. Florida with Tennessee at home, Kentucky at home, and then at Georgia, and Florida in a position, Harrison, we did not expect them. They are not only – they're not even fighting for their hosting lives. They're fighting for their postseason lives. So yeah. Florida's got to really hit the gas pedal here. You can't afford any lapses, and if you do, I mean, heck, they might win a couple in Hoover just to be going to the postseason, yeah, which is, again, crazy to think about. But that's
another note. Another note in Arkansas, yeah, though, I mean, you look at game three, I mean, Mason Lealy didn't start, though.
Did not start in that ballgame.
Did not start. It was Ben Bidey. And it was kind of a bullpen game. Cody Frank, Dylan Carter, Jake Flaherty, and Faraday and Parker Cole pitched. But, I mean, that was a big game for Florida to take on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I could easily sit here and watch Florida have this kind of up and down season, not a lot of things turn their way, and go into Hoover and win four or five games, maybe win it all. So,
I think it's it's just a shame, Harrison, the way that Florida is wasting Jack Caglione's special season. I mean, they win basically every game he pitches. I think I saw a stat. They're like 11-1.
They won Sunday when he pitched.
I think they're like 11-1 in games he pitches, and like 3-10 or so. Like, I don't know what the exact stat is, but I mean, it's crazy how much better they are when he's on the mound.
At the top of my head, I'd have to say there's only two pitchers that have a better record when pitching. And it's Hagan Smith. I think he's 11-0 or 12-0 now. And Ryan Prager, who's now 8-0 in games he starts, which is unreal. I mean, but Florida Tennessee is going to be unbelievable to watch. I think that if you're a betting man on college baseball, I don't advise you do it. But you might want to look at that over number. I mean, Tennessee's got five of the top 15 OPSs in the SEC. And the power that Florida has, it might be a slugfest. I mean, wind could be blowing to Lindsey Nelson. So, or it's actually, I think, in Florida, but
yeah, it's at Gainesville. Still. Yeah. Now, that one's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, that's a bit of a rivalry across all sports. So that one will be fun. Harrison, before we get to the top 25 and we close this thing up, three series or a couple series, I should say, we didn't talk about. Yeah, there's three. Bama takes 2 of 3 from Ole Miss. Tennessee sweeps Mizzou. LSU takes 2 of 3 from Auburn. You guys are probably realizing at this point, we're at a point in the SEC season that, you know, there's some of these series that some of the bottom dwellers that are fighting against each other, you know, not to say they're not important, but some aren't as noteworthy as others. Did anything stand out to you from those series I mentioned? Again, Bama 2 of 3, Ole Miss, Tennessee sweeps Mizzou, LSU takes 2 of 3 from Auburn. Anything in particular jump out from those three series?
Not necessarily. More so Tennessee, you go play Missouri, you win 10-1 in game one, but you win a one-run ball game, game two and game three. You win 3-2 and 3-2. I mean,
Mizzou has turned into a team that's just like, they're a thorn in the side type. Like, they're just a pesky team. Pesky.
Yeah.
Very pesky.
But I mean, yeah, it's just as good as Tennessee is on both sides of the ball, let alone their offensive production. That's not something you're really excited to see, only winning 3-2, 3-2 against a team like Missouri, especially with the aspirations and anticipations they have coming the season, and let alone this entire season has been proven. I mean, I said they have 5 of the top 15 OPSs in the SEC. I mean, that alone, you know, should be better than a one-run ball game, let alone only scoring 3 runs in 2 different games against Missouri. So not a cause for concern, but just kind of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I really look at, you know, I thought Bama got a much needed series victory, right? But LSU takes 2 of 3 from Auburn. you would have liked to have swept that one. LSU right now sitting, sitting at 7-14. So it's still very much an uphill climb for the Bayou Bengals, who they are truly staring down the barrel of missing the postseason, which is just, with that talent, it's hard to fathom. I mean, it's just hard to fathom. So I don't know, but
going in the rest of the way, I mean, and into the SEC tournament, which kind of mid-tier SEC team do you have the most confidence in?
Mid-tier team that I have the most confidence in? You know, I think Bama could turn it on. They've got the power pitching to do it. They, for whatever reason, haven't been as good on the mound as I think folks expected. I mean, if you want to go by records, Haverson, I don't consider Vanderbilt like mid-tier, but I mean, they're 11-10 in SEC play. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think
if we're counting Vanderbilt, I'm definitely going Vanderbilt.
Right. I mean, they're the best of the teams that are kind of like at that 500 mark. I mean, I think South Carolina is definitely dangerous, even though I don't trust their pitching.
Same with Georgia. You don't trust their pitching.
Right. I mean, it's like you mentioned, man. Like, does Florida have the talent to make a run? Sure. Will they? I have no idea. You know, does LSU have the talent to make a run? Sure. Will they? I have no idea. So I'd probably go Bama, but that's a tough one. That's a tough one to answer. So,
something to think about next 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Final 3 weeks is going to be wild of the regular season, I should say. Before we get out of here, Harrison, let's take a look at the top 25 released by D1 Baseball Monday morning. Texas A&M remains in the one spot. Arkansas 2, Tennessee 3. Kentucky slides down to the 8th spot after losing 2-3 to South Carolina. Meanwhile, the Gamecocks, they are 15th. Mississippi State at 16. Vandy at 17. Georgia at 19. And Alabama at 23rd. Anything jump out to you from those from the top 25 released this week?
Top 25 in the SEC. I mean, we headlined it with South Carolina, Kentucky, and how huge of a series win that was. I think going from 24th is what South Carolina's ranked to 15. Big jump. Definitely think they earned it, but they're going to have to prove it again, or else they're going to be dropped back down kind of to the last kind of five in the 25, top 25. But we see Alabama week, like the past couple of weeks, just hanging around 22, 24, 23, 25. They're like that middle kind of threshold. If they turn it on, they can really go on a run off pitching wise because the offense is there. But I think Georgia, South Carolina is going to be a really tough, interesting series to watch later in the season too. But I mean, I think not too many overreactions, which I'm a big fan of. You can't just go out of the rankings to 16 or 15. You can't go third. I'm glad Kentucky, if Kentucky would have dropped out of the top 13, I would have think that's too big of a jump.
Probably my biggest takeaway, Harrison, admittedly, I have no issue with the rankings, by the way, of the SEC teams. My biggest takeaway, it's not on an SEC note, and we'll close with this. East Carolina at 5th. I had the Pirates going to Omaha, so maybe this is the year Cliff Godwin finally makes it to Omaha. So, interesting.
It's not SEC, but of the mid-major teams, you got to have the most confidence in them. I mean, just how good of a team they've been going to the postseason and deep in the postseason, let alone not Omaha, but they have all the pieces to do it. And it's just, will this be the year for them? But also, I mean, keep an eye on non-SEC team again. UC Irvine cracking the top 10. I mean, West Coast baseball is slowly coming back, I think. But
they play good baseball on the West Coast now.
They do. It's good to see them, another mid-major team, because it just shows how deep college baseball is outside the SEC and like the entire country. I mean, you have mid-major teams. We talked about, you said Air Force beats and Austin Peay beats Mississippi State, but just shows how anyone can beat anyone. And college baseball is incredible because of that and just the storylines that come with it. And it's anyone's game any weekend. So.
Guys, that's going to do all for us. Appreciate each and every single one of you tuning in. As always, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button on YouTube. Hit that bell icon as well so you get notifications of when we go live and when we drop new video content, which is each and every single day. Also, guys, you get the podcast, which drops daily, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We're all across social media as well. And, of course, guys, stay up to date with the latest from us over at our website, secunfiltered.com. For Harrison Fan, I'm Chris Phillips. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.